One
all the great programming.
All the great programming.
On the park. On the park.
Are we doing predictions? No predictions?
No time for predictions. Okay. All right. That's it from the Gristle. And we'll see you next week for the last episode before the election.
Don't ruin the theater of this show. Wow.
Hello and welcome to Across the Park, 2SER's numero uno sports and Italian language program. Wow, what a huge week it has been in the world of sport, etc., etc. And we're also a couple of sleeps away from Mother's Day. What does that have to do with sport? I hear you scream at your radio. Well, nothing. But it gives us an excuse to have a couple of special guests. Speaking of people, I am one and my name is Joel Kasem, but I don't sit here on my own talking to myself for 30 minutes, so let me introduce the others right now, I guess. Okay, just calm down, everyone. First up is a woman who admits she may have boiled the egg that hit Scott Morrison in the head a little too long. It's Gabby Morris.
Yay! I get a clap.
Wait, what?
Did she boil the egg?
I don't know. It just didn't break, so I assume it was sort of...
Such a fail. And she knocked over an old lady.
Yeah. Didn't go well.
Did not go well. No.
Also joining us for the second time is a woman whose twin sister once met the Duke of Edinburgh on her behalf, which means Across the Park now has 4 degrees of separation between us and the new royal baby. It's Claire Crutzen.
Hello.
Can we just preface that Joel often does intros that aren't true? That is true.
That one is true. Yeah.
That one is very true.
Yeah.
And 4 degrees separation, yeah? I mean, it's three for you, but...
Yeah.
Well, you're part of the show, so...
It's... You can claim it. That's fine.
Thank you. Has the baby got a name yet?
Yeah.
Did it happen?
I'm just so embarrassed.
Oh, yeah.
Harrison Windsor. That's it.
They didn't want to run with Harry's father's name?
Oh, stop that.
James Hewitt? Okay. Anyway, that's for the smart people.
Not our audience.
And not us.
And joining us for the very first time is a woman whose coffee cup made a brief appearance on Game of Thrones this week. It's my mum.
Yay! Hi.
Hi, mum.
Hi, Joel. How you doing?
Very well. And how are you?
Good. And I don't like, was it Gloria Jeans or what? Sorry, coffee
Starbucks.
Was it?
Gloria Jeans.
Oh, sorry, Starbucks.
They're jeans.
No, the coffee.
Gloria Jeans.
I don't want to say.
Is jeans? Wait, am I wrong?
Yeah,
have
you
I been
are
calling
wrong.
Myself?
That is a coffee shop. Oh, Gloria Jeans.
Oh my god!
See, pick the one who doesn't drink coffee.
Or apparently, ever.
Or buy jeans.
Or ever go outside. I'm just not concerned.
That's true. Yes.
No. Kathy. The roasting begins.
No. Hi, darling.
We're
how are you?
Very well, Mum. How are you?
I'm very
well. I think we did this bit already.
Do we? Okay.
Deja vu. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Welcome to the program.
Sorry.
the mic.
Okay.
Mother's Day is this Sunday, and I understand that it's not really a sporting thing at all. Is it a sporting event? I don't think it is much of a sporting event.
I bet
event.
You there's some weird community event that has mums doing some kind of weird sporting race.
Yeah.
I reckon that'd be something.
Definitely.
Sure.
Without a doubt.
But there'd be lots of mums doing lots of great mum things around sporting venues and fields, I'm sure.
Exactly.
Oh, that's a lovely thought. That's nice.
Yeah. I'm sure there's a million fun runs going on.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
A lot of fun runs. Mum?
Yes, love?
I was a good sportsman as a kid, wasn't I?
Yes. No. No, you were fabulous, Joel.
Yeah, I did okay?
Well, you were... Compared to some of the other little boys on the team, you were pretty good.
That's good.
Yeah, you never stood there and played with yourself while looking at the planes on the park. You
does that now.
Oh, does it now, yes. He does in a
That'll
park, which is very
shot.
Disturbing.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how we got the name of this show.
Yeah.
The cops chasing me across the park.
But no, you enjoyed your sport, which was good.
Yes.
You played soccer for... I always thought I'd put them into soccer because I thought it was... you never get hurt in soccer. Joel, not so much, but my other son has had every injury possible.
Yeah, Kyle's actually been on this show before. People have been listening from the beginning. Kyle's had crazy injuries from soccer.
Fractured cheekbones.
Yep.
Two broken wrists.
How do you break cheekbones playing soccer?
Ah, that's exactly right. How do you? And then, of course, the one that was the best one was when he had his kidney sliced in half.
Oh. I don't think that's soccer.
Yeah,
playing properly.
What game was he playing? Are you sure it was soccer?
No, it was definitely soccer. And this is just park soccer. And
yeah.
He was just, yeah, played as a like an older It was mental. But anyway. So,
yeah, that's right. He was playing in like an opens division.
Yeah.
And someone hit him from behind, I think, and knocked him down. And he thought he'd broken a rib. And that's
sliced
what even
his
the
kidney.
Doctors had thought. Yeah.
Did the broken rib slice his kidney? Is that how that happened?
Something.
No, he was holding a knife when he was.
Yeah, the guy ripped into him like that. But no, it severed his kidney. But lucky enough, because we're a family of freaks, apparently you have one main artery that goes into the kidney, but Cole had two, so both sections of the kidney were still working.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So
we are the freaks.
Yeah. Well, when I say we, I mean my husband and the kids. So, yes. But no, Joel was a very good swimmer.
Thank you.
I was very proud of him. He swam very, very well when he wanted to.
Thank you.
You made Metrops and I think State, didn't you?
What's Metrops? What's that mean?
Metropolitan.
What's that mean?
Like the Sydney region.
Okay.
You made, like, yeah. So it was like the Sydney thing. Don't you remember that?
No. But I swam for New South Wales.
Yeah, you made State.
So swimming for Sydney is nothing, really.
Oh, I'm sorry. But it was at the time. I was very proud of him.
Have you kept all of his trophies and his medals?
His medals, his trophies are all at home gathering dust in the cupboard somewhere. But, yeah, no. He was a good swimmer, Joel. So
yeah.
That was really good. And he played cricket for the school and football. And,
look at him just beaming.
Yeah,
around.
I know. Yeah.
Well, no one ever talks nice about me, especially on radio. So I'm going to enjoy this. Yeah.
No, so my mum's trying desperately hard to throw out all my trophies, and I'm not letting her. So.
Oh,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah. See, mum's like, Joel swam okay once. Claire has like this list of sporting achievements as long as my arm.
There's a double garage. There's a double garage with no car
able
to fit into it.
Oh my god.
Mainly because of all my stuff.
Oh my god, that's so cool. No, that's
mum doesn't think so.
Yeah. I'm coming over to have a look. I think it'll be right.
Just borrow some.
Yes.
Right, Joel has them on it.
Yes. So no, you were a good little athlete.
Thanks, Mum.
When you wanted to be, love.
Thank you.
And of course, he was such a good swimmer. Like when he made all those things, but then he once he was told that he'd done something to his back, and of course, swimming was one of the best things that could help his back. He went, "I'm quitting."
Yeah.
That's it, I'm quitting.
Were you a teenager?
Yeah.
Yeah. As soon as I could. Yeah. As soon as I was old enough to make my own decision, so 21,
no.
I was like, no more swimming for me.
You finished before then. Yeah. And he used to do, when I'd take him to training, I used to hate that, like 4:30.
You hated it.
Oh, please. You got in the water, you swam. But I had to get up and take you. And then he'd say to me, like, oh, you're going to stay? I'd say, yeah, I'm just going to sit in the car park. And I'd go home and go back to bed.
I'd pick him up
and give him his toes wrapped in foil and send him to school.
Nothing like cold buttered toast out of foil to
sweaty
start your school
toast.
Day.
Yeah. Oh. It's pretty, like, what mums do, like, it's pretty amazing getting up at 5:30, taking your kids to swim practice. Like, so boring.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Imagine being a cricket mum.
Yeah.
You think swimming's boring? I've really had a lot to say about, I'm nervous about having kids that want to play cricket. Like, I already find it boring to watch.
My kids won't be playing cricket.
No.
Really? But you had, like,
I could not think of anything worse than sitting there all weekend watching a child play cricket. I've spent enough time on a cricket field. I am not spending the rest of my adult life doing the same thing.
No.
Every time they
say
look
it now.
At cricket, you just divert them, throw them the other way.
I like cricket. I like watching it.
Yeah.
Maybe not kids.
No.
Yeah.
So boring.
Okay, that was my turn, Gab.
Yeah, look, I was just thinking about this the other day, and I was thinking about a story, another story actually, about how I really wanted to play rugby when I was really little. Like, I would have been like 5. And Dad was like, yeah, you can play rugby. And Mum was pretty nervous about it because it was an all-boys team, right? They didn't have girls that played rugby. There was no one around. And I wanted to play with my best mate, Nicholas. And I got there and, you know, Mum and Dad were a little bit nervous. And I literally got there and just, like, smashed all these boys out of the way. Like, palmed them off. Bang, bang, bang. And my best mate, Nicholas, talking about playing with himself, is just in the middle of the pitch making mud pies, just, like, stacking them up. And, the coach had to be like, Gabby's just a bit rough on the field. Like, you know, had to have a conversation with my parents. And I was like, I was playing bloody rugby. Like, what do you want me to do about it? Like, I'm not going to go make mud pies and be wary of these, you know, boys that are scared about getting tackled. But it actually made me really nervous about, like, continuing on because I was nervous about being the only girl and, yeah.
Did you continue to play?
No, because then I kicked a ball really hard in a boy's face and it bled and he cried and the dad got really angry at me. like really, really angry at me that he yelled and screamed at me. And then
wow.
I was like, oh, I was just too nervous to yeah, continue on.
I really wish we had your mum to ask these questions to.
Lisa Morris, come on down.
Oh, my goodness me. I had the visuals of that whole scene. It was one half of me was so proud of you and the other half was like, oh, my God, that's so embarrassing.
In case anyone's wondering, that's Gabby's mum on the phone. Yeah. We have a, and I want to give her this.
Yay!
Ta-da! Gabby's mum.
You can have a round of applause as well.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, mum, you've had to deal with a lot of – I've played lots of different sports. I really wanted to try it all and taking me to practice, going to all the games, like
– Yep.
Yeah.
Sitting on the sidelines.
Yeah.
And I'm not a sporty person at all. Not at all.
Mum's the kind of person, if you throw a ball at her, she blinks and is like turning her – you know, it'll hit her in the face before she even thinks about catching it.
It's so bad. I need distance. So I was a sailor as a kid because then your opponents are a long way away.
Yeah.
They can't get you.
No, not much of a team player or a team sport player.
No, not. Girls with weapons are really scary.
So like golf.
Yeah.
Golf. Yes.
So you don't have a sport at all that you enjoy?
Sailing was my sport.
Just
when
sailing.
I was a kid. Yeah, and okay. That was lots of fun. I really loved that. Water, I'm a water person, so I love swimming and mucking around on.
Are you aware that your daughter went sailing just recently?
I was so proud of her.
So were we, actually.
And she knew she had it. She sometimes got a bit seasick when it was quite rough.
Yeah. Ooh.
But she did it anyway and survived and loved it.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good sport. I mean, it's not a sport that I would say that it's an expensive, pretty elite thing to do. But it is really fun and like the little dinghies and your little sailboats, you know, those are really great. But aspiring to go on sailing holidays all the time is just not something I think I can pursue. I don't think so. But
I think all the alcohol you consumed as well. That would have cost a lot, I think.
Yeah, and the
did
cheese boards.
We
definitely lived it, the high life. It was not like a real sporting adventure, that's for sure.
No, that's more of a holiday than
sport. Mum, you were telling me about that time that you did cross country. Like, mum's like the kind of person that will like avoid any type of sport or like kind of sporting activity.
As a kid, I hated it with a passion. And I said, this is it. I mean, I would always have sick notes for Tuesday afternoon sport. It got to the point where the school just said, look, she has to come to athletic carnival. She has to come to this. And then if she doesn't want to do anything else, that's okay. So I went to my last athletics carnival, and it was the cross country, which, like, what is that about?
I am with you there.
Mm-hmm.
It's hot, you're sweaty, there's flies, it's dirty.
It's like, dirty.
Ugh. Sounds like this studio.
And I always came last, and I just said to the girl that always beat me, the one
the second
ahead.
Last.
20 minutes after everybody else, I said, I'm going to cheat. I'm not coming last. And she said, go for it. So I ran through the school building to not come last. I didn't. And mum goes, well, how was it when I got home? And I said, well, I didn't come last. She said, well done, darling.
I just think it's funny that the girl wasn't like, yeah, cool, just go ahead of me.
No,
yeah.
She was sorry for me. That's how pathetic I was. And my mum was proud. That's even more pathetic.
No, I think it's lovely. See, mothers are always proud.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mothers are always proud.
Yeah.
Even if they lose a daughter.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Exactly.
My sister's kind of similar. Like, I'd just be like, you know, bashing around playing all the sports, and Emma, my sister, would just be getting awards for most enthusiastic, which I just think is like
the coach's award.
Yeah, the coach's award. It's just like the worst. It's like a participation award. It's like you don't give people participation awards. It's like absurd.
It is.
Throwing up on the day. I couldn't even do that half the
thanks for thinking about coming.
That's yeah. why your mother was proud. You actually turned up and did it.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks.
Was the kind of person that would slow down in the middle of the running race so you could get a photo properly.
Yeah. We do have a lot of photos of my sister just like posing mid-race.
And Emma's always winning.
Me, I'm just like,
I'm taking photos so it looks like Emma's winning, but actually she's coming last.
Thanks, Mum, for all the sporting support over the 30 years of my life.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. You taught me how you could enjoy group sports. I thoroughly enjoyed your soccer and watching you play and the teamwork and it was wonderful.
No, sport has a lot of very fantastic qualities that I feel like some people like yourself maybe never tapped into.
Well, I did have sailing and that was a team sport.
That's true.
Four of us on a boat, so we had to work together and
True.
But yeah, no, soccer and things like that were just never gonna be my you take after your dad.
Thanks, Mum, for supporting me live on air. So nice. It's Mother's Day.
It feels great, right?
I love how it's Mother's Day that we've just got our mums to come in and just talk highly of us. Like, it's such a classic thing for us to do.
It's really cute.
But, yes, thanks, Mum. And, see you soon.
She said she'll call you next week.
Yeah, I'll call you next week. Love ya.
I love you too.
Bye, Gabby's mum.
Bye, Gabby's mum.
That was fun. That was our first ever phone call.
I know. First ever across the park phone call. It was me mum just talking about my life.
Okay, so we've done all that. We're 17 minutes into the program. We've got 13 minutes left, guys, so we should actually talk a bit of sport,
yeah.
I suppose, if anyone's watched
definitely.
Any.
Definitely.
In the cricket, I thought I'd start with cricket just for you, Claire.
We'll be quick, don't we? Do you like talking about cricket?
I do, yeah. I've obviously work in it, talk about it all day.
Yeah.
So it's,
but work, you know, when you're talking about work and then, you know, do you enjoy, do you get the rush when you talk about cricket?
I wouldn't say I get a rush talking about cricket.
Because Gabby gets a rash when she talks about cricket. She hates it.
I love playing cricket. Like, it's so fun. Like, obviously, like, it is fun. Like, I'm not like, you know, park cricket or beach cricket. Like, it is a really, really fun sport, but... Mm-hmm. Maybe I was saying to Joel, like, maybe if I went and, like, got – if you get a bit more involved in the sport, then you do really start to, you know, understand it.
I was going to say, if you have a full understanding of it, it's a lot easier to enjoy it.
Yeah, for sure.
If you don't know what's going on.
Yeah, it's complicated.
Yeah, it's very easy to tune out and do something else. But and cricket is complicated. So if you don't understand it, I completely understand why people find it incredibly boring.
Yeah,
I like cricket and I feel that way about AFL.
Yeah,
do you understand the rules, AFL?
Not a clue.
Yeah. That's true. That's I got into AFL because I started playing and I was like, this is a great sport. This is so much fun.
Yeah.
But for some listeners, what's your cricket kind of history and where are you?
Yeah, so I started playing cricket at a very young age. I was the opposite to you. My first cricket team was 10 girls and one boy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, which is very, very unusual.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, which helped me stay in the sport for as long as I did because the drop-off of girls was kind of one person a year instead of I'm the only girl, so I'm disappearing after the first year.
Yeah, yeah.
So that helped a lot. And then obviously played right through, ended up playing sort of state level here and then moved overseas, played county and ended up representing Hong Kong at a national level.
Whoa.
Which is
well done.
Very obscure, but I was there long enough to receive my cap and play against Bhutan and Iran. And
really?
At the Asian Championship. China, Thailand, Japan, Bhutan and Iran.
These are a lot of countries not known for cricket, right?
Even some for sport, right?
Yeah.
It
was really interesting, especially playing against Iran, because they man-catted three of our girls.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And man-catting is such a big thing at the moment.
Yes, massive thing. But they didn't understand man-catting. Right. So, God, how long have we got?
Yes.
basically, instead of bowling the ball, you stop and you run the batter out at the non-striker's end before you've even bowled the ball. So you're taught as a cricketer to back up, get ready to run.
Yeah.
But you're not supposed to leave the crease until they've let go of the ball. But it's very against the spirit of cricket to stop and man-cat somebody without either warning them first or just kind of saying, I've seen you do that, don't do that, or I will do it. And even then, it's still controversial to man-cat people. So we're playing Iran and they man-catted the first girl. And we're like, oh. Oh, what's happened here? And then they mancatted me.
But I wasn't.
Yeah, but I wasn't out. I was annoyed because I wasn't out. Not that they'd mancatted me, because we'd seen them do it already. So I was like, it's going to happen. But I got given out, and in my opinion, I wasn't out. But they read the rules, and it's in the rules, and they play by the rules. They didn't understand spirit of cricket.
Right, okay. Yeah. So, right.
Yeah, the
that's really interesting, the context.
Yeah.
And like,
yeah, the funny thing about cricket is there's a set of rules, and then there's another set of rules, which is the spirit of cricket, which can completely contradict the rules.
Totally. Yeah.
So if you're a country that don't play cricket and don't understand cricket, you read the rules, you get taught that there's 10 ways to get out, and this is one of the ways you can get out.
And it's a pretty easy way to do it.
It's like, free game.
Yeah, I'm just going, oh. Yeah.
It's free game. So it was one of the most fascinating tournaments I've ever been a part of.
It's
was
so, that's so fascinating.
Playing in Thailand on some of the most interesting cricket wickets I've ever seen. But it was a whole lot of fun. I really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah, that's really cool.
That is cool.
That's my background.
So for the Australian team, Smith and Warner, the bad boys, have returned.
They have.
So they played.
I mean, you know what? They got caught. Tell me.
Whoa, controversial.
No, just tell me. I mean, I'm not fussed on Warner, I'm going to tell you. But just tell me, like any sportsman that hasn't, done something like that with the ball. Any. Please.
Well, you're not going to see it in league. You're not going to pull out sandpaper and start rubbing the ball.
Oh, no, not like that. But
you've been cheating? You're saying people often cheat in sport. Is that what you're saying, Mum? Because now you're sounding like Gabby.
Yes, I think. They're always trying to get that little edge, aren't they? Everyone wants the edge. Everyone wants to get ahead. Everyone wants to win.
There's pushing boundaries and there's blatantly cheating.
What I think is really weird about it is that they very much blatantly cheated. Like there was cameras everywhere. Yeah. It was almost like a bit weirdly set up or something.
Which camera do I look at?
Yes.
Camera 5?
One? Okay, got it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was a bit weird. But what do you think about it? Do you want to get rid of them?
No, I think their penalty was harsh, but I think the reaction that everybody gave after that penalty, before that penalty, after they actually cheated, probably that was why the penalty was so harsh. Australia reacted so strongly for what they'd done.
Yeah.
I think they've done their time. So, so if they're good enough to come back and play and be in the team, then they should be back in the team.
Totally. I think that would be so devastating for their careers to be completely destroyed after. Yeah. It's not like they hurt anyone.
Well, that's right. They didn't kill anybody. They rubbed some sandpaper on a ball. Oh, sorry.
That's better, Mum.
I'm sorry.
I'm trying to gesture to Mum to sit. I don't know what that is.
I don't know.
Sit closer to the mic, Mum.
I'm sorry. You're
sitting against the wall.
You know, worst things have happened. You know?
Yeah, true. Well, anyway, they returned. They got 3 games this week. They played, I think, the first one on Monday. That was their first game back.
Yep.
I'm looking at Claire for...
Yeah, Monday, then yesterday. And I assume they'll play tomorrow.
Today. Well, we say today because it's actually Friday, even though it's not. People listening at home don't know that. So they returned. Anyway, they're back. They're just playing some warm-up games ahead of the World Cup. A few warm-up games against New Zealand, some one days, and that's it. Over in soccer, just quickly, last week we spoke about Leeds and Aston Villa, that game where, I don't know if you guys saw this.
Did see that.
The goal, crazy scenes. So Leeds scored a goal when a player was down in from Aston Villa, and normally you would stop, kick the ball out.
Yeah.
They didn't kick the ball out, they went on and scored, and everyone blew up. So then Aston Villa, the Leeds coach said, let them score, just let them score, don't get in their way. So they scored off the kickoff. Aston Villa became a goal each. It's happened again in a third tier match in England. Scunthorpe, is that how you say it?
Why not?
United.
No one's listening from there, so we'll be right.
took advantage of Plymouth Argyle's injured goalkeeper to level scores in a must-win match. So basically the same things happened. The goalkeeper was injured. You could see it when he caught the ball, and then he was like really gesturing at hurt his side somehow. He's like trying to tell the ref that I'm sore, and his teammates on the sideline. And so he went to throw the ball out to stop play. And someone has run up and got the ball and chipped it over his head.
Well, see, now that to me, that's a bad sport.
That's bad sports, right?
That's a bad sport.
He was clearly saying I'm injured.
Yes.
And he was doing it for a long time. It's not like it's just...
Also with soccer, though, there's such a bad rap with diving and putting on a show that... people just get the shits and just go, I'm not stopping the game for this anymore. Like, it's absurd. I think I don't know what happened in this instance with the keeper, but yeah.
If you kick the ball out every time a player went down, the ball was the whole time.
Yeah. That would be so good just to do like a skit of like classic English football game, just like.
I love Italian people. I've got a lot of Italian friends, but those Italians in the World Cup,
I'll never forget.
I'll never forget, and I'll never forgive. They can die, but they can't swim.
Yes. I do find it interesting. Out of all the Champions League stuff that's happened this week, that's the soccer story we're going with.
Yeah, I know. Sorry. And like the whole Liverpool thing, and there's so much to talk about, but we are completely out of time. Like, we can't, and normally Mick would be, he loves Liverpool, so
right.
He can talk about it next week when a bit more has happened. I can't even talk about NRL or AFL this week. The A-League is the semi-finals this weekend. We didn't even mention that last week, and Adelaide beat Melbourne City to make it through, and Melbourne Victory beat Wellington Phoenix to make it through. So this weekend, tonight, Perth Glory will take on Adelaide United. And on Sunday, I thought you said Saturday, Mum, but it looks like Sunday here.
No, I thought it was Sunday.
Sydney FC take on Melbourne Victory. So there you go. All right, let's quickly do a game because we're running out of time.
Do we need something?
We do. Yep. Sports questions about sport. Do you win something? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
No. Not on this show. You'll win my respect. Don't listen to Gab.
I literally get Mick every time. I'm like, oh, Joel's organised prizes this time. He's like, really? What is it? I'm like,
nothing,
cup of tea. So funny.
Yes. Sorry. I was looking at something. Hey, I'm going to ask questions really quickly. So I've done a mix for all three of you because you all have different sporting backgrounds. The phone's ringing. It's not.
Mum?
Okay. So, first question.
Wait, excuse me.
Yes.
Just want to get the ground rules here.
This is what I mean. Very competitive.
How do we like buzz in? Do we raise our hand?
Do we yell our name?
Do we just yell answer?
Yell the answer as fast as you want.
Not yell, yell.
Just yell. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll be very quiet. This will be very quiet over this end. Yeah,
okay.
So, first one in best dress. Just want to clarify.
Yes. this one's for you, Gab. Who was the leading run scorer in the 2017-18 Ashes series?
Michael Clarke. Is he even a cricketer?
Yes, he is.
He is. Well done. Yeah. So you get a point for him being a cricketer.
Yes.
That's good. Claire?
I should know this.
You should.
It's probably Steve Smith.
And it probably is, yeah.
Oh. Hey, well done.
Well done. Which Aussie won her second successive world surfing title in December 2017?
Repeat the question.
Okay. Gilmore.
Gilmore or Lane Beachley?
No.
About
neither.
Tyler Wright.
Oh! You had no idea, did you?
Gabby, that was a surfing question. That was aimed at you.
Yeah.
What was her name?
Tyler Wright.
Tyler Wright. I think she won. That was two in a row for her when she won that year. I think she won 2016 and 2017.
Well, I hope so because that was a question.
Was it? It was. Which, sorry.
This is what I'm working with. Is that Mick remix?
No. That's just one that's on here. I don't know. We shouldn't talk about that on here. Okay. What is the smaller white ball called in a game of bowls?
The jack.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Mum, I thought you'd get that one.
She's looking. You're looking around for the answers.
I am. I'm like, how would I know what the smaller white ball? It's called the small white ball.
Okay, Mum, this one's just for you. Okay.
Oh, okay.
How many years in a row did the St. George Dragons win consecutive premierships?
It was 11.
It was 11. Well done.
Who was St. George?
I'm sorry, what? I'm sorry.
Rugby league.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
She doesn't know.
She doesn't know?
Would you have got that one, Claire?
Yeah.
Okay. Do I have time
you have
for one
to
more?
Get. You have to be competitive. You can't just let her get the answer.
Oh, no, it's specifically. Because I'm the Dragon supporter. There's not many of us left. So.
You are as well. I just remembered. I'm so sorry. I just remembered you are.
Yeah, but did you go to the non-insurance grand final and get a punch in the eye like I did when the Roosters... beat us?
Yes.
30.
Mum got punched in an eye. In the eye.
In AI. Yeah.
In AI.
One of them. I'm
just
not sure.
Just one of them. Yeah. Just one of them.
It wasn't hers. Ooh. It was an eye for someone else.
Yeah.
That's the end of the show, guys.
Oh, that's lovely. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you to Gabby's mum.
Thanks,
thank
mum.
Thank you to all the mums.
Thank you all the
mums. Do all the sporting stuff. Take everyone to sporting events.
Play the sports.
Play the sports. Do all the sporting stuff.
Produce the sporting people.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Nothing without
produce
you.
Produce sporting people and then continue to play sport.
Yeah.
After that.
Yeah.
Big shout out to them.
Yeah.
I think there's five.
Love ya.
All right, that's it. We've got to wrap it up.
Can you believe? Brown cow. Stunning. You're a homosexual.
I care about you.
Go, I'm just
no, I'm not going.
It's done.
We're here, we're queer, and we'll never die.
It's us.
It's us.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God, we're here.
Ah.
So I'm Patrick. That's Ruby. This is It's a Gay Area on 2SER 107.3. Ruby is back from a brief one-show hiatus because she was busy being a gamer guy who cheated on his gamer girl wife.
So, I don't know if we can actually talk about that. So, Last week I was busy because I am one of the three directors of the University of Sydney's Queer Review, and last week was our show week, and we had three sold out shows, and it was amazing, and everybody was so funny.
I would just like to say that me and Donatachi did give you a shout out on air on Friday.
Thank you for that.
So I think we contributed to that, and we will look forward to getting the commission.
Oh, I didn't get paid.
I know.
Yeah.
We would like money, though.
Neither will you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay. Big shout out to Donatachi for filling in for Ruby last week. Always a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you so much, Donatachi.
Sweet angel baby.
For helping us out.
Friend of the show. Friend of the us.
Friend of the us.
Fun fact, me and Ruby today are wearing matching jumpers.
I'm convinced that Patrick is has a secret tiny drone that follows me around at all times and has done this on purpose.
I haven't. It's cold and it goes with the rest of my outfit. It's Pop 2, Charlie XCX, Track 10.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I do have a tiny drone following you, but it's for different reasons.
Yeah, it's for different reasons, yeah. Of course. So yeah, we're both wearing our Pop 2 jumpers. It's very cute. I'll give us that. I'll throw us a bone.
Yeah. And I would say we're doing very well for two co-workers who are obliged to be here but are not friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely not friends. Patrick has multiple times made it very, very clear to me that we are not friends, which I think is a very healthy way to look at our relationship as co-workers.
I have never explicitly said we are not friends until literally just now.
Okay.
We are deeply in love.
Yeah. All right. I'll give you that, sure. I'll throw a dog a bone. Black sheep. Throw a dog a bone. Is that the song?
E-I-E-I-E-I-O.
Patrick follows me with a drone. okay, we've got a very cool show lined up. We've got Brody from Crucible Tattoo coming. Is it Crucible or Crucible?
Crucible.
Anyway.
It's Crucible.
Crucible. We've got Brody from Crucible Tattoo coming onto the show to chat to us about tattooing and Crucible being kind of a queer safe space.
Which is really fun in the tattoo business. And I say that having many of them on my arm.
Yeah. It's very important.
Very important.
Getting tattooed is a very, I feel like it's a very intimate process.
I mean, someone is literally stabbing you with a needle that's putting things into your body.
Exactly. And so we'll also be showcasing some new releases from some queer artists from around the world.
Quartists.
And this first track is called Keep On Coming by Gia Woods.
I'm sorry.
You should be. Keep On Coming by Gia Woods, and you're listening to It's a Gay Area on 2SER 107.3.
Stay Gucci, everyone.
Stay Gucci.
Thank you. Hello, and welcome to It's a Gay Area on 2SER 107.3. I'm Patrick, and that's Ruby, and we're about to interview someone very special and important. And it's about tattoos, which are ink things that go into your skin holes. So, I don't know about you, but I am... Since I was 18, I started getting tattoos, and it has become a deep problem in my life because I keep wanting to get more, and I do not have the money to do that a lot.
But before we talk about that, what you just heard was Over You by Jake Germain. Great song, great song. And yeah, well, I think we're it's about time we talk to the lovely Brody from Crucible Tattoo. Thank you so much for joining us, Brody.
My pleasure.
Now, first things off the bat, what do you reckon kind of separates a queer tattoo studio from other tattoo studios?
Well, firstly, queers.
Yep.
So, our studio is owned and run by queers, started by queers. Not everyone who works in our studio is queer.
Yeah.
So, but it still defines the space that we've created. So, I think there's just a shared experience there and a shared understanding of what it means to be marginalized for your gender or sexuality that allows us to make a space in which people don't feel like they need to hide a part of themselves. So whether that's just in small ways, like the fact that our consent forms ask for a pronoun, you know, a lot of people, that's the first time they've really been asked in a setting like that, and that can be really affirming. It also allows us to treat them in a way that's more appropriate.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's other bigger things as well. You know, like we get clients coming in who are like, who talk about having tried to get, for example, a chest tattoo. And when the people at that studio have seen their scars from maybe like top surgery or something like that, it changed the vibe and they've been uncomfortable. So really we just try and create a space, yeah, where people don't. People can just be who they want to be.
Yeah.
That's what we're going for, yeah.
That's really important, absolutely. So how else do you think you kind of create a queer safe space through, like, your service and style?
Well, yeah, like I said, there's sort of little things like the, well, you know, it seems like a little thing, but for people who don't fit into a binary gender or who aren't immediately read as the gender that they identify with, it can be a huge thing, something like pronouns. But I think even just beyond that, people come into the space, they know what our values are and what our ideology is, so they can have a certain expectation of safety. For example, you know, partners who are getting matching tattoos who don't have to pretend to be friends. You know, stuff like that.
I love that.
I think even just how explicit we are with our values and our objectives, I think people can just come into the space a bit more relaxed rather than having to suss it out first. So, yeah, and I think even just the fact that we hire queers and a lot of the artists who work in our studio, myself included, particularly myself and Adam, who goes by Disinhibition, we use a lot of queer imagery and, like, queer iconography in our work, or, you know, we subvert sort of traditional tropes.
Yeah.
In a way that queers them, stuff like that. I think people just really appreciate that they can expect some level of understanding and shared experience from that. So, yeah.
Oh, amazing. So with your sort of the studio, diversity seems to be sort of a key aspect of that. What would you say that this intersectionality, do you think that should be found in more sort of like tattoo spaces or like just queer spaces in general, like more diversity in terms of intersectionality?
Absolutely. And it's, you know, it's an ongoing process for us as well. Like, I honestly think that, you know, our studio could be a whole lot more diverse. You know, we could have a lot more people of colour working at the studio, for example. As it is, the industry at the moment is going through a lot of change, which is really, really exciting. But there's still, you know, there's the wider cultural context. You know, like we live in heteronormative white supremacy. So
yeah.
That's sort of the context that we're working within, but we do make an effort, you know, it's not really my place to talk about the racism the fantastic artist experience, but it is something that impacts their livelihood and even just getting into the industry. So even myself, as a white person, trying to get into the industry, even before I transitioned, I was denied an apprenticeship because, in quote, "Now mate, I got two chicks at home, I don't need another one." So even just getting into the industry when you aren't, you know, what's already represented, is really, really hard. So we've basically tried our best to sort of find people who are maybe like starting out or struggling to sort of get a foot in the door and sort of offering more training and stuff like that. So in that sense, we've tried to invest more in artists who don't look like what's generally represented. And so I think that's why maybe you see a bit more diversity in our studio. But like I said, there's so much further to go. But I honestly think, you know, if intersectionality doesn't have a place in creativity, then I don't think it's that creative, because if we're just going along with the status quo, then we're upholding it, and there's nothing creative in that. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, what are your customers like? Like, what do your customers like typically want when they walk through the door?
Well, for starters, we don't really have a typical type of customer. We get a lot of different people.
Right.
It's especially changed over the years. At the start, people didn't really know so much that we were a queer studio. So we got a different mix than we get now. It's really exciting to see more queer people coming into our studio because they've heard about us, word of mouth and stuff like that. But we still get a huge variety of people. You know, we get a lot of locals, people who are just coming for the quality of our artists and anything like that. So, but yeah, I would say we cater more queers than other studios would.
Absolutely.
So that would probably be, if I could make any generalization about our clients, generally they're queer. Other than that, they couldn't be more different from each other.
I mean, Ruby was saying just before the interview started, like, being tattooed is a very intimate process.
It's such an intimate process.
So if, as a queer person, I would personally feel a lot more comfortable having another queer person or an ally tattooing me than I would someone who wasn't necessarily.
Yeah,
there is so much vulnerability inherent in that intimacy as well, because not only do you have the physical intimacy, but there's all the vulnerability of pain, there's the vulnerability of markings on the body. You know, if you have a negative experience getting that tattoo, it doesn't matter how good the tattoo is, it's always going to make you feel bad looking at it. So yeah, it's so, so crucial that that be like a positive and nurturing space. And my practice in particular, I have tried really hard to make it informed by trauma, informed by consent, and all those things to try and make it as safe as possible.
Yeah, because I think when it comes to like something as intimate as tattooing as well, like I feel like kind of gaining that trust and that intimacy would definitely range between different queer people, because there are people, I'd say there are definitely people who are more visibly queer, and because of that, they may have a different experience when getting a tattoo. So, you know, having like a tattoo studio full of queer artists is really fantastic and amazing.
Even just the fact that we can get people request like an outrageously flamboyantly gay tattoo and be like, pick your best artist, you know, whoever wants to do it. Just, you know, being able to do that and know that you're not going to get a weird negative response, I think is really exciting for a lot of people.
Absolutely.
And it means we get to do some amazingly cooked camp stuff, which is very exciting.
And I've seen that one of your artists is actually one of my favourite tattoo artists, Gemma Flack.
Oh, yeah, Gemma's fantastic.
What's it like working with Gemma? Their art is just incredible.
Their art is fantastic. You know, I'm actually probably the worst person to ask about that, because Gemma and I are mostly ships in the night, unfortunately.
Oh,
we've worked a little different days, but we have been getting to know each other a bit better recently, and, yeah, such a pleasure. They tattooed me recently, actually, with a little candy heart on my ankle that says "Slut" in it with some sparkles on it.
Oh, so, I love that.
Fantastic, yeah. They're a total sweetheart.
I love that. Now, y'all at Crucible Tattoo do vegan tattoos, yeah?
Yeah.
What is that process?
Yeah, I think people talk a lot about vegan tattoos and, you know, who can do a vegan tattoo. The reality is that the majority of the tattooing process is vegan already, depending on, you know, how to the letter you want to get, if you want to, you know, count plastic as vegan, because, you know, I mean, the ethical implications just, they're just like a fractal. You can just keep going forever. But for the most part, most tattoo inks these days are vegan. We use petroleum jelly, you know, mostly like plastics and stuff like that. So doing it vegan is generally pretty easy. Sometimes there's products in the stencil paper, so we just use a different kind of stencil paper. The main thing for me is that I prefer to offer natural aftercare products, which usually have beeswax in them. So if people are vegan, then I just recommend them back to the more mainstream sort of pharmaceutical aftercare products. But yeah, there's not much of a difference, you know. The inks are sort of alcohol based and stuff these days, so.
Right.
Well, I imagine even the small touches for people who are vegan and sort of use vegan makeup products, stuff like that, it would be very important for them to make sure their tattoo is also vegan.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially something that's going into your body. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, we have quite a number of vegan people working at the studio, and I've been vegan in the past. And yeah, there's actually not really much in the tattoo process or much in the materials that I've sort of incidentally been using that contains animal products. So, yeah, generally if people mention it, it might mean using a different kind of stencil paper, but other than that, the process is generally pretty animal-free.
Amazing. Now, final question. Now, I know that your studio is located in Melbourne. And I think probably a fair few of our listeners are from Sydney. So do you know of any of the artists at your studio who may be coming to Sydney for guest tattooings?
I got back 2 weeks ago from spending a month in Sydney doing a guest spot. Unfortunately, doing guest spots in New South Wales since 2012 has become a lot more difficult.
Really?
The licensing is just, I won't go into it because it is extremely tedious. But yeah, it's actually quite difficult for Victorian artists to legally work in New South Wales if they don't see it so much. But like I said, I just spent a month working in a studio in Leichhardt called Little Art, which is a great studio that I worked at on the recommendation of a trans regular client that I have. And that studio there is very welcoming of queer folk. I felt very comfortable there. So in Sydney, Little Art is awesome on Norton Street.
Amazing.
And I also worked at FLP in Newcastle, which is Friendship, Love, Tattoo, I believe.
Yeah.
Sorry if I got it wrong. and they're fantastic as well. Really great crew of women running it. Yeah, both those studios are run by women. And yeah, they're fantastic. But I'll definitely be up again before the end of the year, I reckon.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Brody. It's been really awesome having you on the show.
Yeah, no worries.
And that was Brody from Crucible Tattoo in Melbourne talking to us about, the fact that Crucible's a queer-friendly tattoo studio run by queers for queers. We love that. We really love it.
We love it. We very much do love it. Well, first of all, thank you very much for Brody for coming on. Now I just want more skin drawings.
Yeah.
And I'm going down to Melbourne in June, so I might pop by Crucible.
You should go to Gemma. I love Gemma. I'm on the record. I'm saying it. I've been following Gemma on Instagram for a while, and their tattoos are so cute.
They're so cute.
I love them.
I mean, I have come to realize that all my tattoos are done by women thus far.
It's because Gemma's non-binary,
So
like. Maybe you can go try something a little different.
I know, but I do like cute things.
Yeah.
I do have cute tattoos.
They do have a lot of really, really cute works. I love it.
Yeah.
Now, we might squeeze another little song in before.
A little ditty?
Maybe. How do you feel about ditties?
I feel about ditties the same way I do about titties. Love them.
You're a fan?
I'm a fan.
You're a fan of those?
I am a fan of those. Aesthetically, not necessarily practically.
Practically, maybe not.
Maybe not, but maybe I do enjoy a pair of big naturals. Also a pair of small naturals.
There's something I just really hate about that. I love it and hate it. Big naturals.
Big naturals? I mean, you should understand because, like, you can't even play the piano because big naturals.
I can't play the piano.
Gaming, impossible.
Yeah, I can't game. I can't play the piano. I can barely carry things.
The only way Ruby can ever play her favorite game, Modern Warfare 2, on the Xbox 360
is wearing the esports game dress. It's a very good dress. That's all I've got to say about that.
I did try and find one for her birthday. It's very difficult to find.
They are very goofy, I will say. But with that, we've run out of time. Thank you so much to our producers, Mike and Rhiannon, for all their help. Mm-hmm. Stay tuned for Hardcore Classic. We love our boys. We hope they have a really great show. Mwah, 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 mwah. We're kissing them through the studio. Mwah, mwah. It's beautiful. We love it. Stay tuned next week. We'll be doing something just as great as we did this week.
Or better. Or maybe even a little bit worse.
Maybe even worse. And tonight, Patrick and I are going to go see Detective Pikachu. And it's going to be a really fun time seeing.
We're going to get novelty cups.
We are. I mean, like one novelty cup. That
oh, is
we
that only
share.
One novelty cup? There,
maybe you can buy one probably.
But I drink.
We'll figure it out. We'll go halvesies in it. This has been It's a Gay Era on 2SCR 107.3.
Sit for sip.
My name's Ruby.
Two straws.
My name's Ruby.
One ear each.
My name's Ruby.
That's nice.
My name is Ruby.
My name's Patrick.
And we are going now. Good night.
Bye.
And this is Please Don't Fall in Love by Vincent.
Feels like another life. So many wasted fights. Was it a waste of time? Maybe we were right. Maybe I was wrong. It don't matter now, cause you're gone. If we're the reason why we can't seem to someone else to hold our love. You can drive off in his car, kiss his lips inside a bar, fall asleep inside his arms. But please don't take him to a spot. Hold him like me in the dark, tell him that he's all you want. Just please don't. You're a part of me, but the only thing that bothers me, babe, is I can't stop thinking.